one of the things that you want to be showing people over and over and over, and you want to be establishing a pattern of, is showing people that when you are in the room, you get things done. Good communication and good assertive communication doesn't come from force. It comes from being effective and strategic. It is much more powerful to get things done because you knew how to be persuasive versus because you were willing to be the most forceful person in the room.
Welcome to The Art of Speaking Up, a podcast that helps professional women access the limitless potential that lies within them. I'm your host, Jessica Guzik, and my mission is to help you find that spark inside you that has the power to transform your career in ways you may not have thought possible. I'm so excited that you're here. And now, on to the show.
Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am Jess. I am a New York Times featured podcast host, a prior executive in the corporate space, and a current career coach for ambitious women who want to grow and thrive and become super confident, powerful leaders in their corporate careers. My mission is to help more women elevate into leadership and really do so in a way that feels authentic and in a way where you can thrive, not just in your career, but just overall as a human. That is what I'm here to do. And if you have big dreams for the impact that you want to have in your corporate career, and if you want to grow your confidence and really become an admired, powerful, impactful leader, you are in the perfect place. And today I am talking about quite possibly one of the most important things that will help you become an impactful leader. And it's also something that is probably one of the biggest struggles that I see when I'm working with my clients, and that is the skill of assertive communication. It is both very, very important and very, very challenging, which is why it comes up so often in my coaching work. But it's something that's worth slowing down to really learn and really get good at, because assertive communication is how you demonstrate your leadership capability. In your career, one of the things that is so important for you to be doing, especially if you want to be seen as highly capable and you want to be seen as someone who is promotable and who is, you know, someone who's going to be pushed upwards within your company, one of the things that you want to be showing people over and over and over, and you want to be establishing a pattern of, is showing people that when you are in the room, you get things done. Because that's ultimately the type of person that companies need in higher level leadership roles, is they need the people that can get in the room and get it done, even if it's hard, even if it's messy, even if people are arguing, even if there's pushback in the room, even if it's hard to get buy-in. It's the people that can show up in the room and get it done, even when all of those obstacles are present, that add enormous value inside a corporation or inside a company. So what you are trying to do is you're trying to show your boss and show leadership at your company that you are one of those people, that you are one of those people that shows up and gets it done. And one of the biggest skills that will help you do that and will help you become someone who shows up and gets it done is assertiveness. Because sometimes to show up and get it done, we have to show up really strong. It's not always going to be that everyone's going to agree with how to move forward. And it's not always going to be that meetings and projects are frictionless. There are going to be frictions. There are going to be disagreements. And assertive communication means that you know not just how to assert your perspective, but how to do so in a way that's effective and persuasive, where you can get a room full of people to buy in and make powerful decisions to move forward. And I'm going to be talking more about this in today's episode, and especially about a big mistake that people make with assertiveness, but it really does require you to walk this fine line between being really strong in your perspective, but not so strong that you're pushing too hard. Because pushing too hard isn't an effective strategy when it comes to assertiveness, which I hope comes as good news. You don't have to be super forceful. You don't have to be super aggressive. And in today, I'm really diving into some of the mistakes and misconceptions that come up around assertiveness, and particularly the mistake or the misconception that it's about pushing really hard and being really domineering when it comes to getting across your point of view. So if you're someone who wants to be assertive, but you don't identify as being super domineering, then this episode is for you because I want to show you that that's not required. So what I'm going to be doing in today's episode is I'm going to be sharing an analogy in order to teach a really important concept that I hope will help you understand why you do not need to be forceful in order to communicate assertively. Good communication and good assertive communication doesn't come from force. It comes from being effective and strategic. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Once I teach you the analogy, then we're going to start to transition to some practical steps that you will want to take when you are communicating assertively so that it is super effective for your audience. Before I dive in deeper, before I get into the analogy, which is a bowling analogy, so I'm quite excited to share it with you. It's an analogy about bowling with bumpers versus bowling without bumpers. Before I explain the analogy and how it applies to assertiveness, I have one quick but exciting announcement, which is that from March 13th through March 20th, enrollment is open for my signature group program, the Art of Speaking Up Academy. This program is for you if you want to become a confident, clear, assertive voice in the room. The Art of Speaking Up Academy is a 6-month group program. It is a small group program. It is taught live every week by me. And in this program, I take you through my proprietary curriculum that covers 2 really important ingredients that are going to fuel not just your verbal communication, but your professional success. Because ultimately, if you want to elevate into leadership and impress executives at your company, you not only have to be really sharp in the way that you communicate, but you also have to have the confidence to back it up. And in the Art of Speaking Up Academy, I'm going to help you with both. I'm going to help you become really sharp, really crisp, really polished in your verbal communication, but I'm also going to help you build the confidence to back it up. Because when you feel confident on the inside, you are far more impressive and commanding on the outside. So you are not only going to dive deep into my frameworks that will teach you executive communication and how to communicate assertively, but also you will get to do the inner mindset work to help you achieve lasting, sustained growth in your self-confidence. If you are ready for that, and if you want to not just elevate your communication skills, but up-level your confidence and your belief in yourself and your capabilities and the strength of your voice, this is the program for you. And you can now enroll for the upcoming cohort by heading over to jessgazickcoaching.com/academy. Click the link in the show notes. And when you head over there, you can learn lots more about the program. You can view the entire program curriculum. And I invite you to reach out to me with any questions you might have as you're considering joining us. I will drop my email in the show notes. And like I mentioned, just head over to jessgazickcoaching.com/academy. And you will be able to learn more and secure your spot in the next cohort. And now I'm going to get back into the topic of assertiveness, which is a huge focus on this episode in my coaching work and inside the Art of Speaking Up Academy, because like I mentioned at the beginning of today's episode, assertiveness is how we demonstrate our leadership capability, and it's an essential skill that we need to have if we want to be able to get things done in rooms where there are obstacles, obstacles like disagreement, obstacles like resistant stakeholders, obstacles like ambiguity or confusion about how a piece of work should move forward. Whenever those obstacles come up, typically we need to be stronger and a bit more forceful in our communication style so that we can move through the obstacles. But when I say forceful, I don't mean an aggressive, mean force. I mean forceful in a confident, powerful way. That's what we're talking about today. And today, what I really want to do is debunk a limiting belief that a lot of people develop, that actually I developed when I was in my corporate career, that really prevents people from getting better at assertive communication. Now, here's how this limiting belief develops. Here's how it happened to me. And here's the pattern that I see with most of my clients who have a struggle with assertive communication. typically the pattern is that you get some sort of feedback that you need to be more assertive in your communication style. And if you're anything like the women that I support and work with, you're often told that your work is actually good and that your company really values your contribution, but they need to see you have a more powerful voice and presence in work conversations, and they need to see you be more assertive. Now, this is hard feedback to get because unlike working harder, it requires some inner work. It requires some mindset work. It's a harder thing to develop than just put more hours in, give us more deliverables, right? Because what you're really being asked is to show up bigger, take up more space. That is an inside job. And what happens so often when people get that feedback is they think to themselves, okay, there's something not right with my communication. I'm being told that it needs to be more assertive. Let me look around at my colleagues who are getting promoted and who are succeeding in the company. And let me see how they're communicating so that I can emulate that style of communication, that assertive style. And then what happens is you look around and you observe a style of communication that doesn't resonate with you and doesn't feel authentic to you. You observe people being more direct than you are comfortable being. You observe people being borderline rude. You observe people being domineering. You observe people really just taking up all of the space in a room in a non-helpful way, in a way that doesn't feel collaborative, in a way that feels overly forceful. And then if you're anything like me, then you start to get stuck because you think to yourself, okay, well, to grow in my company, I need to show that I'm more assertive. But what I'm seeing with the people around me who appear to be successful at my company is that they're just being really domineering and obnoxious, and they're communicating in a way that doesn't feel authentic to me at all. And what I want to offer you in today's episode is that you do not need to adopt that communication style in order to be effective and in order to be assertive. And in fact, that communication style, while it can lead some of your colleagues and some people to temporary success in a corporate environment, it is often not the right communication style to lead to sustained long-term success in a corporate environment. And this is so important, and it's something that people don't think about. And I see a lot of people who adopt this very aggressive communication style. They're not playing the long game, they're playing the short game. They create a little bit of success doing that, and then eventually at some point it starts to backfire and they start to run into issues. And I want you to be aware of that, because while it might appear from the outside as if these colleagues who are communicating this way are really successful, and so that's what you have to do and you have to be super aggressive, I want to show you the bigger picture so you can see that this is not what's required of you. And the way that I'm going to show this to you is through a bowling analogy. So I am someone who really struggles with bowling. Anytime I get invited to something, don't tell my friends. But anytime I get invited to something that's a bowling party, I just kind of dread it. I'm not good at bowling. I really struggle. And I don't like that with bowling, you have to get up and everyone's watching you. And I'm not a great bowler. So it's like, you're all going to now watch me throw this ball into the gutter, and you're going to watch me do it over and over and over. So there you have it. Now you know my deep insecurities about bowling. But anyway, today's episode is all about bowling with bumpers versus bowling without bumpers. And this analogy is going to lead us to a very powerful message about assertive communication that is going to help you change the way you think about it. So you can bowl with bumpers, right? Or you can bowl without bumpers. Now, one thing that I want to point out when you're bowling with bumpers, or when anyone is bowling with bumpers, is that you can get a really high score with bumpers simply by throwing the ball with as much force as you possibly can. So if you throw the ball very hard, even if your aim is horrible and you're a terrible bowler, because the ball is heavy and it's moving fast, it will hit the pins with more force. They will be knocked down with more force. They will knock each other down, and you will be able to get more strikes and more spares and just a higher score. And you don't need to be good at bowling at all. You don't need to have any sort of aim. You literally just need to be good at being really forceful and chucking that ball as hard as you possibly can. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't go in a straight line. It doesn't matter if it hits the bumpers. If it's moving fast enough, if it's moving with enough force, it's going to knock down the pins. And so someone could bowl with bumpers and they could get a really high score. And if you just look at their score bowling, then it's going to look like they're a really good bowler. right? But then if you actually watch them bowl, you'll see that it's a different story, that there's bumpers and that they actually cannot aim the ball. Now, if you remove the bumpers and someone has been bowling this way just by throwing the ball really hard, but they have no aim, what happens is their true colors are going to show. And I shouldn't really be judging people who aren't good at bowling because I am one of them. But in this example, we're talking about someone who only knows how to throw the ball really hard. And the minute you remove the bumpers, that person is going to go from getting a strike every single round to getting nothing because the ball's going in the gutter every single time. This is because while they know how to throw the ball really, really hard, they lack actual sophisticated bowling skills, which means that when the bumpers are gone and they can't rely just on force and just on the bumpers, they can't get a good score. So the people in your work environment who you are seeing be forceful and rude and aggressive and domineering, those are people who are bowling with bumpers. On the surface, they're getting a good score. On the surface, it looks like they're making an impact and creating success. But beneath the surface, they're lacking a more sophisticated skill set. They don't actually know how to bowl. They just know how to throw the ball really, really hard. And as soon as you remove the bumpers, those people are going to struggle. But the reason they look successful to you is because it's as if you're seeing their bowling score, but you're not seeing that they bowl with bumpers and that the only way that they know how to knock down pins is to throw the ball really, really hard. This analogy is the perfect, perfect way to split up two very important ingredients that have to come together for effective assertiveness. And often, people are missing one of these two ingredients. The first ingredient that has to be part of it is strength, is power, is force, is confidence, right? You have to have that fire in you to believe in your perspective. And this doesn't have to be obnoxious, this doesn't have to be domineering, but there does have to be some part of you that feels strong and passionately about your perspective. You can call it force, you can call it passion, you can call it commitment, you can call it grit. But one of the ingredients of assertiveness is that powerful commitment, that powerful forward motion. There has to be a certain amount of force. And there's different flavors of force, right? You can have force that feels domineering and obnoxious. You can have force that feels more confident and powerful. So there's different varieties, but an essential ingredient when it comes to an assertiveness is there has to be some flavor or level of force, of robustness, of strength behind it. But the other part that is an essential component that many people are lacking, and I see this, and I have seen the struggles often that these people will run into, is that they're lacking the more advanced persuasion and influencing skills. So they know how to be really forceful in their communication, but they don't know how to finesse it and make it persuasive and make it influential. So it's just like the person who is bowling with the bumpers and can only throw the ball really, really hard. They know how to be forceful. They know how to throw that ball down the lane really forcefully. They know how to show up really big in the meeting and pound their fist on the table. And they're able to create some results doing that. However, the minute that you put them in a situation where there aren't any bumpers, they're going to struggle to be as effective. And someone who is good at being forceful, but lacks the more sophisticated bowling skill, or in this case, the more sophisticated persuasion skill, is going to find themselves struggling in situations where the power dynamic doesn't favor them. And this is one of the things that I see people overlooking most often when it comes to assertiveness, which is that if you are not in a favorable position when it comes to the power dynamic that exists in a room, then it is very likely that you just being super forceful is going to backfire. And it is very likely that if you don't know how to actually bowl a bowling ball and you don't know how to take that force of the bowling ball and supplement it with the ability to aim the ball and be strategic, if you don't know how to do that, you will not be able to score points. You will not be able to get things done in rooms where the power dynamic is more challenging. So let me explain what I mean by the power dynamic. This is so important. I haven't talked about this on the show, and it's really, really essential if you want to get things done and climb the ladder in corporate. A power dynamic, and I'm sure you know what this is, but I'm going to reiterate it because it can be helpful to even hear something you already know. But a power dynamic means that among two people or a group of people, that people hold different amounts of power. And in a corporate setting, typically, one of the ways that power is allocated is its decision-making power. So if you're at the top of the corporate hierarchy, you have more decision-making power. You get to decide things more often, whereas if you're at the bottom of the hierarchy, you don't have as much decision power. So for example, if you disagree with your boss about something, it is ultimately your boss who gets to make the final call, because that's how the power dynamic is explicitly set up in the organization. Whereas if you disagree with a peer, then the final call is going to have to be negotiated between the two of you because you're peers. So there's an even balanced power dynamic. Likewise, if you disagree with someone who reports into you, you get the final call because the power dynamic is in your favor. So when you're in situations where the power dynamic is in your favor, so you're either around people who report into you or you're around peers, but you're not around people who are many levels more senior than you. So when you're in an easy power dynamic, you can get away with more of this aggressive flavor of assertiveness. The favorable power dynamic functions like the bumpers in the bowling alley, where you can be sloppy and you can be messy and you can score and get things done. And that's a lot of what you're seeing in these rooms is you're seeing people who have more of an aggressive style of assertiveness, and it looks like it's working, but it's working because the power dynamic isn't super challenging. It's working because that person is bowling with bumpers. They are typically in a room with people who are at their peer level or people who report into them, or if it is people above them, it's not people many levels above them. So they're in a room where the power dynamic is a little bit easier. And because the power dynamic is easier, they don't have to be as good as being influential, so they can use force to get their point across. Because the people who report into them have to go along with what they say by nature of the power dynamic, and the people who are their peers might not have the sophistication and the communication ability to effectively negotiate with that person through that aggressive communication style. So they're able to get away with more because it's an easier power dynamic in the room. However, if you take away the bumpers and that person tries to bowl, they're not going to score any points. So similarly, if you take away the favorable power dynamic, that person's aggressive communication style is going to land very differently in that conversation or in that meeting. If you put that same person who's being aggressive and domineering in a room with executives, with C-suite members, with leaders who are many levels higher up from them in the organization, unless those individuals have really strong interpersonal relationships with those executives, that aggressive communication style is not going to work as well, and it might even backfire. And in fact, I have seen this happen. I see this often where people are able to get things done through force, and it works up until a certain point in their career. And then they hit a point where it stops working. It becomes harder because the power dynamic is no longer in their favor and they never actually learned how to persuade. They never actually learned how to bowl. They just learned how to throw the ball really, really hard and rely on the force of the ball to knock over the pins. And I really want you to think about this. If there is a power dynamic where someone who is at the bottom of that power dynamic is being forceful and aggressive, I want you to think about what that's like for the person who's at the top of that power dynamic. And in fact, you could put yourself in that person's shoes, or you could imagine what it might be like to be that person. What might it be like to be a CEO or a C-suite member in a room and then have a senior director come into that room being very forceful, very aggressive, not collaborative? That has a high risk of backfiring. Yes, it might work once in a while, just like a bad bowler might once in a while bowl a strike even without bumpers. Like every once in a while, you will bowl a strike. I know this as someone who's not good at bowling. It does happen. But a lot of the times you're going to get a gutter ball. It's a risky strategy. And what's missing is the ability to take that force that's behind your communication, which is essential. Like I mentioned, force is an essential part of assertiveness. But what you want to do is you want to take that force and finesse it. You want to take that force and turn it from being forceful in an unappealing way to being appealing, compelling, and persuasive. Just like if you're bowling with bumpers and you know how to throw the ball really, really hard, if you want to actually get good at bowling, you then need to take that really powerful ball throw that you have and you need to learn how to aim. If you don't learn how to aim, you will not be able to knock over the pins. Similarly, you need to learn how to take forcefulness, take that strength, right? Take that stamina that comes behind assertive communication, and you need to learn how to soften it and finesse it. And the way that you do this is through your persuasion skills. And it is much more powerful to get things done because you knew how to be persuasive versus because you were willing to be the most forceful person in the room. Because here's the thing, someone who gets really, really good at bowling and knows how to throw the ball and aim the ball, that person can score points whether there's bumpers or no bumpers. That person can move fluidly between lanes that have bumpers and lanes that don't have bumpers. Either way, they're throwing the ball straight and they're hitting a strike every time. They're more flexible. And the skill of aiming the ball still works when you have bumpers. Similarly, when you're good at assertiveness and you're persuasive and you know how to finesse the force behind the assertiveness, you can get things done in all kinds of rooms. You can get things done and be assertive and get buy-in with executives. You can also get things done and get buy-in when you're with your peers or when you're with people who report into you. So when you can be assertive and persuasive, it works in rooms where the power dynamic doesn't favor you, and it works in rooms where the power dynamic does favor you. And in all of those situations, it leaves a much more powerful collaborative taste in your audience's mouth. And part of the reason that people get so tripped up on this is because this is a very nuanced, subtle concept. It's very nuanced and subtle to say, I want to have force, but I want that force to be softened a little bit, not too much, because then it's no longer assertive, right? I want to soften it just enough to make it palatable and compelling to my audience. And this is a more advanced skill, just like bowling, right? Where not everyone necessarily knows how to do this. And so I'm going to be recording a part two where I'm going to share with you how to do this and walk you through how you transition from just using force to layering persuasion on top of that force. That is when you become one of those people who is really effective because they are strong, because they are confident, and who feels like they're showing up authentically in the room, not in a way where they're trying to belittle other people, but in a way where they're really passionate about getting things done, but they're also really persuasive, and they're also really good at getting that buy-in and bringing people along. So in part two, I'm going to walk you through what that looks like. But my goal for part one is for you to see that being forceful and being aggressive, it might work in the short run. You might see people around you creating success doing that. But I want you to keep in mind that it's very risky for them in the long run. Because at some point, they're going to be in rooms without bumpers. They're going to be in rooms with people who hold power over them and who aren't going to want to deal with that level of aggression. And they're also going to be in rooms with leaders who they might not know as well. People who have that aggressive style, they get away with it when they have a strong interpersonal relationship with the leader. But if you want to get ahead in corporate, you need to know how to be in all different kinds of rooms with people who already know you really well and people who don't know you really well. And you need to learn how to push and fight for your perspective in all of those different contexts. And you need to learn how to do it without repelling your audience. And the good news is that this is where you get to be more authentic and more of you. Because if you're someone who doesn't want to be super aggressive, you want to be more collaborative, the good news is that's exactly what I'm going to be teaching you to layer on. I'm going to be teaching you how to add in collaborativeness, how to add in empathy for your stakeholders, how to add in more of the human component of the interaction. So that's what we'll be covering in part two. So stay tuned. I can't wait to share that with you. And I want to remind you that doors are open for my group program, The Art of Speaking Up Academy, from March 13th through March 20th. And what I talked about in this episode is something I teach you in depth in The Art of Speaking Up Academy, because if you want to be a good verbal communicator, you have to know how to be assertive in a way that is persuasive. And in the academy, I walk you through a framework and you're going to learn it, you're going to practice it. And the most common feedback I get from my clients on this framework is that it changed the way they think about assertiveness. And they're not as scared of it, and they don't feel as resistant to being assertive because they see that it can be a powerful act of inspirational leadership. If that is the relationship that you want to have with assertiveness, you are going to love the way that I teach it in the Art of Speaking Up Academy. And I dive deep into that in module 4 of the curriculum. To enroll in the Art of Speaking Up Academy and to check out the full curriculum, head over to my website, jessguzzettcoaching.com/academy, or I will link it in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll catch you in part 2. Bye.